How many is happy that you're a Christian?
Amen.
Amen. How does it feel to know that you're among the elite?
Amen.
The whole world's looking for being among the elite.
Yeah.
They're just looking in the wrong places.
That's right.
Amen. You could never have anything in this world worth more than the price that he paid for us so we could live throughout eternity. Amen. So we are blessed people. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We have hope.
Amen. Amen.
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. You know what that means? That's thus saith the Lord. Paul's saying that by vision or by the word of the Lord coming to him. He's not just speculating. Yeah. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not forbid them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Chapter 5, verse 1. I'm sorry. Wherefore, comfort yourself with these things. Chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Moment. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word, Lord, throughout all these ages that went by. And as this world changes so much and things are lost, you made sure that your word stayed here all this time. And it's just as real and true tonight as it always has been. We thank you, Lord, because you've given it to us. And we pray, Lord, that we would give proper consideration to these things, Lord, that you have done and said and sent our way, Lord, that we would just receive them properly, be able to live them, Lord, as is your desire. We love you tonight. We ask God you speak your word to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. The title of this tonight, The Secret Coming. The Secret Coming of the Lord. Last week we talked about the coming of the day of the Lord, as we refer to the day of the Lord, and there are so many scriptures in the Old Testament that we can read about that, and it paints a pretty grim picture to the world when it's talking about the day of the Lord, a day of gloominess and darkness, and one place it talks about the great terrible day of the Lord, and so forth, and who shall be able to abide it, and so we talked about that, and you know. The world is, people are afraid, like I think I mentioned last week, Brother Ram was talking about, somebody said, well, quit talking about the coming of the Lord, you scare people to death. And he said, well, that's the most wonderful thing I can think about, is the coming of the Lord. People are afraid of it.
Yeah.
You know that people are afraid of to read or preach or teach out of the book of Revelation. They call it apocalypse. That's what it says, it's apocalypse. And the word apocalypse is scary to people. You see in the newspaper, oh, you know, this flood was apocalyptic portions. You know, they talk about, and all it means is the revealing.
Right. Right.
They're scared, right? But thank God, the bride's not. Mm-hmm. Amen. We're going to talk about that tonight. So, who shall be able to stand? And we talked about that last week, that the bride will be able to stand because God is able to cause her to, as he said in the scriptures. If we belong to him, he's able.
Right.
Right? He is able to do more than we could ever ask or think. And so, and I will add this that I didn't say last week, he has promised to do that. He has promised to hold us up if we will just let him have his way in our lives.
Right.
We know the bride does. And so in these scriptures here where we're talking about this, while the rest of the world is falling apart, the bride is not.
Right.
Right? While the rest of the world is just absolutely falling apart, she's being purified. She's being made purified, and she's being drawn closer to him. The same events and the same things that go on out in the world, that people are, this, everything's just falling apart. She looks at that, and she sees that as his promises coming to pass. We know that the time is near. That's why I've said so many times, you know, every ache and pain that you wake up with as you get older, that's part of the love letter, letting you know that your time's coming, you know.
Right.
And so, because this is not our home.
Right.
We're just passing through. And the Lord lets us know that every once in a while. We're not going to stay in this nest.
Right.
Well, he has ways of pulling all the things out and revealing all the thorns of this world, so we don't want to be here.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the whole concept. We don't want to be here much longer, right? I heard the prophet talking about it. He was talking about how unjust the governments are and unjust the law is and how they're... And he said, God can't let his people stay here much longer in that kind of a condition.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, and so you realize that he saw things a lot clearer in his day that we're just now seeing. But he saw it a long time ago. And so the world's falling apart, but she's being purified. And remember, ending of the Old Testament, Malachi 4 and Malachi 3, it's a day that burns as an oven. It's a day that he makes up his jewels. And so, you know, if you are gold or you are silver or you're precious metals like that, let the fire come. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it's not going to do anything except make you better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about as Christians. And it will burn up wood and hay and stubble and everything else, but the precious things, that which is value. And if you think about what makes gold precious, it's rare, but it's got qualities about it you don't find anywhere else.
Right.
Same like with silver. So things that are precious because they're rare,
yeah.
Right? Because they can stand fire, because when fire comes, they do just purify.
Right.
They don't just burn away and melt away. And that's the believer, that's the Christian, that when trials come, they don't melt away and quit.
Right.
It just makes them stronger,
yeah.
Right? That makes them precious. That's why we're referred to in the things, in the scriptures, the way it is. And so it's a day that burns up in an oven where he said he's making up his jewels.
Yeah.
Right? He is. How can you make jewels if you don't ever use a fire? See, you understand, God has to have these things happening in the world. He has to test us and try us to purify us, or else we won't be there. You won't have a testimony if you never go through anything,
yeah.
Right? So we understand those things. And so this situation here we're reading there where the world's falling apart and so forth, the bride, she's just being purified. And so we see in the scriptures here that the coming of the Lord is with a shout, with a voice, and with a trumpet. And of course, I know we know what those things are. We've talked about what the prophet said. But just from the standpoint of anybody in the world could hear this, a shout, a voice, and a trumpet, it'd look like everybody would be able to hear it.
Right.
Because it's all, a shout is noisy, a voice is noisy, a trumpet's noisy. And you'd think that everybody could hear it. But they can't.
Right.
Right? They can't. And so because it's hidden to them, it's hidden from them. The scripture said here that the coming of the Lord is going to be like a thief in the night. But very clearly stating it's not a thief in the night to the bride, not to people who are of the day. But
right.
It is those who are walking in darkness, those who are of the night, that this coming of the Lord will come unaware to them. They will not catch it. They won't see it until it's too late. You know, the world's looking for Jesus to come split the eastern sky. When they see him like that, it's going to be too late for them. Right? And so, it's because they're asleep. You know, Brother Bram talked about creatures of the night, you know, roaches and things like that. They're all working, and you turn the light on and they scatter.
Right.
I was staying the night with someone one time years ago when I was a young teenager. And just a friend of mine, I'm not going to say who it was because some might know who I'm talking about. But, you know, we were staying there and we were sleeping on a pallet in the floor, a little blanket or whatever on the floor of the living room because they didn't have a place for. And so we were, and everybody else had gone to bed and we were landing. We were hungry. It's about 11 o'clock at night. We were hungry. He and I both, you know, we're like, man, we're hungry. And he said, well, let's go in the kitchen. Let's make some French toast. That's what he said, French toast. And I'm telling you, when he turned the light on, my appetite disappeared. I've never seen so many, you know. But they scatter.
Yeah.
Give it a couple, just a minute or so, and they'll, you know. And so... But that's what creatures of the night. You know, though they that are drunken are drunk in the night. You know, most of the time when people go out and they drink at nighttime. Yeah. You know, they party at nighttime and so forth. Because they're creatures of darkness. They thrive in that kind of environment. But because they're in that kind of environment, they're missing what's going on spiritually, what the Lord is doing. It takes, you know, the scripture tells us that you can't even know the things of God except the Spirit of God would be in you that you could see it. You miss it. See? If you can see things out of God's word, it's because he's in you, making you, causing you to be able to see that. Mm-hmm. Right? And so, they're creatures of darkness. But with the bride of Christ, it's not that. So that's not like that. We don't gravitate to those things. And one day we did, in a past life, before the Lord changed us. Mm-hmm. We chased after those things. But now, you know, and we can honestly say, I don't have that appetite anymore.
Right.
It's gone. I don't have to say, well, I better not do that because I'm, you know. No, it's just not there.
Right.
Right.
That's the glory of it, because you can't die yourself. You can't die up to, you know, God has to do that. He's the one that has power over life and death. Uh-huh. And he's the one that can make you, that old nature, die and replace it with one that's a living. And I'm telling you, I know the devil fights people so much, Christians so much, we've got a bullseye on our back. But if you could look at that and you know what, I'm not what I used to be.
Right.
And you know God is going to work in your life and he will finish it.
Right.
And so the bride of Christ is not walking in darkness. She's not drunk. She's not asleep. And she's not stumbling. You know, the scripture says that when night cometh, no man can work. At nighttime, you're going to try and do something, you stumble.
Yeah.
Even the simplest thing to try and navigate through in the daytime, you trip and fall in darkness.
Yeah. Right.
See, and so we as believers, we are not in a mode where we trip and we fall at everything that's there. We can see.
Yeah.
The world trips and falls over things, but we can navigate through them because God has made us children of light. You know, the scripture said he's the father of lights. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And in whom is no variableness or shadow of turning. I think that's probably what he wants in us, right?
Yep.
That we're constant, everyday believers, Christian, bearing fruit every day, constantly. Yep. Because that's his nature.
Yeah. Right.
And if we're really living overcoming life, that's exactly what we're doing. There's something constant about a believer, no matter what happens. You know, you've heard it before. The sun's always shining. Mm-hmm. It's always shining. Clouds come along. You can't see it, you know, but it's still there.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the thing. Things come through lives or whatever. We're just going to keep shining the gospel.
Yeah.
Amen. And so you see here in this that there's two different things going on here. While the world's falling apart and people are missing it, but there's another group that is catching it, and it's not coming as a thief in the night to them. but the rest of them do. Two different groups, two different pathways, two different outcomes. So you find out that, you know, as the scripture said, so because we are children of light, let us watch, let us pray, you know, let's stay on guard,
right?
Watch for these things. Watch for this coming of the Lord. You know, that Brother Branham said, to the bride, the rapture is a revelation. It's revealed to her, right?
Yeah.
Not everybody else, right? But it's revealed to her.
Right.
And so she's looking, she's watching, she's praying, she's on guard that these things, this thief in the night is not going to come and break up her home, right? Because she's ready, she's
right.
watching,
uh-huh.
she's on guard.
Right.
And so she's looking for this coming. Brother Ram, in that quote says she's watching for it, right?
Yeah.
We're looking for something to come, a revelation to come that'll change and make the difference, right? And
yeah.
and so that's what she's doing. And so all this is going on. She's not afraid as she's looking and watching for the coming of the Lord. We can read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28, and she'll have it, unto them that look for him. To them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Right? To them who are looking for him. Right? Well, you know, the whole world is looking for him to split the eastern sky,
mm-hmm.
but they're looking for the wrong thing.
Right.
So they'll miss it. It's to those that are looked in, that are looking for him, he shall appear. The second time he came before, he's coming this time. Remember, he came to purchase his bride, now he comes for his bride.
Yeah.
And then he'll come with his bride. This second time, he's coming to his bride. He's going to appear to her because she's looking for him. She's
right.
watching for him.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows what she's watching for.
Yeah.
So he comes this time, and it says without sin, meaning he's not a sacrifice anymore. Coming off the mercy seat, right? When that transition happens, so you know when you're looking for something, you got to know what it is you're looking for.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was among the church brothers that somebody had a conversation here recently. We were talking about it. It might have been brothers, but. But if I told y'all, go out into my shop at home and go get a cane hook, how many would know what that is? How many knows what a cane hook is? Brother Daniel does. I know. Anybody else? You know what it is? She thinks she knows. But if you didn't know, how could you watch for it? How could you look for it if you didn't know what it was you were looking for? So you've got to know what you're looking for in order to find it or in order to see it. So to those that are looking for him, let me say it this way, to those that are looking for the right thing, he's going to appear to them.
Yep.
Right? And so a cane hook is one we had was a long wooden piece about that long. And it had a hook on the end of it. And you could hook it to a log and you could roll logs with it. Big giant logs, one man could move them.
Right.
That's a cane hook. So at least that's what we called it. But you see, you have to know what you're looking for. And this is the key here. She's looking for the right thing.
Right.
And that's why she catches it. The rest of the world's looking for the wrong thing. They're looking for, I mean, there's millions, billions of Christians out there that say that, but they're looking for the wrong thing.
Right.
She's looking for the right thing. What are they looking for? Well, they're looking for, you know, to them, what is a revival?
Mm-hmm.
A revival is another rock concert on the platform.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, a bunch of sensations or a big program or another $1 million building built. You know, that's what they're looking for. That's the kind of things, and like I said, they're looking for him to split the skies and appear like that. But the scripture said, unto those that are looking for him, he's going to appear the second time.
Right.
When they see him like that, it's the third time. And when he comes like that, she's with him. Yeah. There ain't no bride here going to meet him at that coming. Because she's already with him, coming with him. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So to those that are looking for it, the second coming is a secret coming.
Right.
To her and her alone. Mm-hmm. Right? Very clear. So how thankful we are to know that God has so blessed us. And I'm not trying to make this some elite thing. I'm just saying what God has said and done. And we rejoice in this. And so the bride, what is she looking for? Well, she's looking for, I can say a lot of things, but she's looking for the Word made flesh in our day. Right? God has to work. He works through faculty of man. He can do whatever he wants, but he chose to do that. She's looking for the Word made flesh, or the Word to come to pass, the promises of this day, what he said would come in this day. That's what she's watching for. She's been taught to know that. In other words, the day when I was raised up in Pentecost, and we all thought about tongues and shouting and all that, because that's what we were taught. But when you get into the Word and God begins to deal with you, you realize it's much more than that. And so she's looking for the right thing. She's been taught and knows to, and so she's looking for the Word made flesh. And so, you know, the scripture says, he cometh with clouds. What was that in Arizona that Life magazine picked up? What was that? Christ coming, look, Hoffman, open the seals, reveal the Word. Cometh with clouds. She's looking for the Word made flesh. She's looking for the promises to come to pass. He ascended up, and a cloud received him, and he shall come in like manner. He shall come in a cloud, like manner. Right? Is that what Scripture says? That's right. See? And so, seeing that we are compassed about by such a great a cloud of witnesses, that realm of those saints that have already gone on, what kind of cloud is this? Right? And so, Revelation 10, this mighty angel came down clothed with a cloud. Mm-hmm. You see? And the world laughs at what we believe about those things. But it's a vindicated word. It's a vindicated message. He cometh with clouds. And she sees it. And she knows it's him. Amen. Coming the way he promised he would come. Because at the coming, like I said, that the world sees that's the third coming. This is to a special people, the right. Second coming of the Lord. Amen. And so she's looking at the right thing, and well, because she's looking at the right thing, it has a rapturing effect. That's what's changing us, is the feeding on this word, the body word of the Son of Man, or however you want to say it, feeding on what God has done in our day, what he's revealing. We just feed on that. And so we love that. And it has a rapturing effect. It has a changing effect upon us. We're being changed. We are being changed as we feed on this word. It is doing something in us day in and day out. We're being changed.
Right.
And so it has a rapturing effect. And so she sees him coming this way. And as she sees him, she sees herself.
Correct.
Because to reveal him is to reveal her also. Amen.
Right.
And so she begins to know who she is.
Mm-hmm.
She begins to realize what it says in Romans chapter 8. We'll read that, verse 33 to 39. We're familiar with this, but we're blessed to be able to read his word. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? This is the bride coming to realize that no matter what happens around us in this day, nothing, as we read it, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. If God says you're justified, if God, sister, if God says you never did it in the first place, then nobody in the world can change that.
That's right.
Because we stand before him. We walk before him. And if he says it, is done. Amen. Amen. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He's the one up there making intercessions for us.
Right.
And so if he's making intercessions for us, you think his intercessory work is working? You bet it is. He knows exactly how to intercede.
Right.
So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So, he covered it all. There's no creature, there's no time, there's no something. He named it. You can't go out there and come up with something that he didn't already list.
Right.
That you understand. So nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. It's so nice to know that.
Yes.
She is looking for him and she loves seeing him.
Amen.
The bride loves to see his word. You know, this message has gone long enough that there are so many that this has become dull to them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a shame. Because this is him. You know, a man and woman can live together, and then after a while, if everything's not like it should be, they might get dull to one another. The nice honeymoon's wore off or whatever. Shouldn't be that way. She loves this word. She loves to see these things come to pass. She loves to see God do his work and present his attributes of healer and savior. We just love it. We want the whole world to have part of it. We want the whole world to see our Jesus. I remember Billy Paul telling the story one time. I don't know, he was probably quoting somebody else. He was telling about someone else. And they said, God's not, he's not one, he's three. And he said, well, if they're as good or as wonderful as my Jesus, you know, right? If you've got three of them and they're that good, then okay, you know, I forget how it goes. But you get the point. It's just, it's so wonderful.
Yeah.
And so she loves his appearing. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Paul, at the end of his day, he says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. I want us all to say that.
Yeah.
Right? I want us all to say that. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Who's going to give him that crown? The Lord is. Right there? It says, which the Lord, the righteous judge. A righteous judge. That's hard to find nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But he's a righteous judge. The Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, but look at the rest of it, but not only to me, but unto all them that what? That love his appearing. That's not just talking about him appearing in clouds or something like that. That's talking about him appearing in the manifesting of his word.
Right.
Right.
See, a crown of righteousness. Brother, sister, there ain't nothing in this world worth to trade for that. A crown of righteousness to be given to you from the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. You know, people, just in the inauguration we just saw, and the people, just how they went there, and that was probably the highlight of their life, a lot of them, to be able to be there, and, you know, and to see that and be part of it or whatever, and maybe some of those close to in the circle there to be recognized, you know, and you know how it is. But what about when the Lord calls your name and gives to you a crown of righteousness? There is no inauguration ceremony can come anywhere close to that.
No.
Right? There is an inauguration coming. Right? And so, because she loves his appearing, going to give her a crown of righteousness too. You know, crowns are given to those who are going to be rulers, right? Royalty, going to be rulers, crown, rule over things. You know, in the scriptures, in Revelation, when you see throughout the church ages, many of those rewards that he gave to each of the churches, those rewards were the opposite of what they suffered in this life. Maybe they suffered the heat and the cold, so that in the blessing it says they'll that, you know, no heat or, you know, understand what I'm saying? And so they'll rule the nation with the rod of iron. Why? Because they lived underneath the rod of iron of Roman system. So you see, his rewards are going to give to you there what you were not able to have here.
Yeah.
Right? And so when he's going to give you a crown of righteousness, it's because here we weren't treated like royalty. Right? Here we didn't get to rule over anything like that. But his reward for his people is like that.
Yeah.
So he gives us a crown. And when he does that, no one can take that away. Amen. No one can take away revelation.
Right.
We know that, but no one can take a revelation away from you. So, principalities, powers, life, death, past, present, future, whatever it is, no creature, no angel, principality, power, no nothing can separate you from what God is doing in your life. Amen. We want to remember that in times whenever it seems so rough. But it shall pass.
Amen.
Amen. It shall pass. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, you see these few moments, just a little something, Lord, you put on my heart to share with your people. Lord, just to encourage them that you've got this all wrapped up and taken care of. Lord, that they would have confidence to believe you. And though even the ground around us might shake someday from whatever, Lord, we'll stand and believe and trust in you. And no matter what happens, we belong to you. We love you, Lord. We just want to be good examples. We want to be able to touch lives. We don't want to be able to hang around people very long, but what they know about you, they can see you in our lives. Just ask, Lord, you just help us to continue down this road. Be like Paul and say, we have fought a good fight. We've kept the faith. Yes, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to Psalm 51. I think we have sung this in a while, but could never get away from these old-time gospel songs.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down with for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to Love, mercy, and grace.